Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today, as you can see on the screen behind me, what are your thoughts about this hot topic? Do we need to give God permission to unleash His power? In other words, do we here on earth need to give heaven, need to give the God in heaven, do we need to give God permission to act? Now, I'm sure some of you are saying, are you kidding me with this question? No, I wish I were. But there is a very, very large movement in, quote, Christianity, unquote. There's a very large movement that teaches that we here on earth need to give God permission before He can act from heaven. If you watch most of the things that are on Christian TV, guess what? That's what they teach. If you think of some of the most well-known supposed faith healers, those who preach health, wealth, and prosperity, guess what? They teach that God needs our permission before He can unleash His power. Yep. And why is it such a hot topic? Well, again, because this movement is growing so rapidly and it is spreading throughout the world. It is obviously heresy. It is not biblical at all. Yet, it is spreading like wildfire. Why? Well, number one, because it's empowered by the liar, Satan. And number two, it perfectly feeds our egos. I have the power here on earth to give God permission to act from heaven. Wow. Well, let's see what Scripture says about this. Isaiah 46, when God was unleashing His power, His wrath, His discipline on His people, His idolatrous, adulterous people. God said in Isaiah 46, verse 9, and 10. Remember the former things long past. For I am God. There is no other. I am God. And there is no one like me who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, God says. God doesn't need our permission in order to unleash His sovereign power according to His sovereign plans. Ephesians chapter 1, we see that verse 11, God has predestined everything according to His purposes, that He works all things after the counsel of His will, not our will. God is sovereign. God has all authority. And God doesn't need permission to do anything. Because everything God does is holy, perfect, and righteous. It is according to the counsel of His will. His will that was decreed before the foundation of time. And trust me, friends, God is not sitting in heaven right now saying, oh, I hope they give me permission so that I can now fulfill that which I decreed before the foundation of time. I know it's the right thing. I know it needs to be done, but I can't do anything unless humans whom I've created first give me permission. What? That is blasphemous. And these people who teach this poison, have no idea about the true living God. None whatsoever. They have reduced God down to a level, not even to a human level, below human level, where they teach that we as humans have authority over God. He needs our permission before He can act. Are you kidding me? And yet, as I said earlier, this heretical teaching is spreading like wildfire. Again, it's empowered by Satan, and it feeds the egos of men. I mean, imagine, again, humans believing that they can control God. I mean, what non-believer wouldn't want that, right? Well, I have control, if there is a heaven, if there is a God, they say. I have full control over Him. He can't do anything unless I give Him permission. Oh, I like that God. Give me 20 of those gods. Because again, think about what non-believers want. To be their own authority. Why do non-believers not want to believe in the true, living, sovereign, authoritative God of the Bible? Because they then have to submit to His authority. And non-believers don't want that. You see, it's a battle for authority. And so these people who say that we can give God permission to unleash His power, what they're saying is, we have all authority. And like I said, that feeds our sinful egos. What it does, it puts humans above God. What do you think God thinks about that? God says in Isaiah 48, verse 11, God says, how can My name be profaned? My glory, I will not give to another. To claim authority over God to want to be exalted as though you're God, to basically create a God where he has to wait on your permission? You think about the patience of God right now. When sinful man, in the name of Christianity, sinful men and women are teaching this blasphemous stuff and spreading it everywhere. And people are buying into it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, you think of God's patience. I mean, his name is being blasphemed constantly. Not simply by the pagans who want nothing to do with Christ or Christianity, but his name is being blasphemed, listen carefully, by the pagans within so-called Christianity. And you think about God's patience. Well, we know why. The Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, as he talks about the day of the Lord, you know, Christ's judgment. He says in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, completely unexpected, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. There will be an uncreation, right? And that's why Peter said to the Christians, verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we're looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And here it is. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. What is Peter saying here? Though God is constantly mocked and blasphemed, it's not like God is up in heaven waiting for permission before he brings his wrath and judgment on people. No. God is in full sovereign control. He is the creator, the sustainer, the sovereign ruler, the redeemer, the savior, and the consummator. And he doesn't need anybody's permission to bring about the day of the Lord. Why is he taking so long? Because he's waiting for permission? No. Why is our Lord so patient? As he's being blasphemed constantly? Because as Peter says, we regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. He has people to save. He still has the elect to bring into his family. And perhaps he even has his elect who right now are caught up in this heretical movement that reduces God down to below human standards, where he can't do anything unless we give him permission. Yes, Perhaps even God has his foreordained elect in that movement that he will save from there and save from eternal damnation. Because when you think of this, what is being said, and again, in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity, I mean, again, it's one thing if a pagan who's never stepped foot inside of a church, never opened the Bible, I get it. They're going to say something. They want to be their own authority. But when you have people who designate themselves as teachers for Christ, people who designate themselves as Bible teachers, these people, when they're propagating this blasphemy, you just go, oh, man. Why does God keep putting up with this? Why is he so patient? Why doesn't Christ just come back right now? Game over. That's because God still has more of his elect that he's going to bring into his family. Again, God does not seek permission from no one or from anything. He doesn't need our green light so that he could then act. I heard one of these guys say that God in heaven has all power. Okay, so far I'm agreeing with that guy. He said God in heaven can accomplish anything. I said, okay, I'm tracking. But then he said, God in heaven has all power. He can accomplish everything, anything. But he is waiting for us to give him permission to do so. And there were two of these false teachers doing a table talk on this. And there was a crowd of people around them. And you know how many amens came from the crowd? You know how the people applauded, raised their hands, hallelujah, and I just thought, how terribly sad. And then I thought, God, why don't you just zap these people? I mean, and again, didn't think that because they had done something wrong to me. No. They had blasphemed my God. And they were misleading these people. Not just the people who were sitting in the live audience, but people who were watching this on TV. So I would say that my indignation was a holy, a righteous indignation, because God's name was being blasphemed. And I thought, God, why don't you just zap these people? And then I remembered God's incredible patience. Patience, makrothumeo in the Greek. God's long-suffering patience. Where he has, yes, even blasphemers, to save. What? Yeah, 1 Timothy, you know a guy who was a blasphemer. In fact, he admits it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor named Timothy. And look what Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, starting in verse 12. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, making me an apostle. Here it is. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet, Paul says, I was shown mercy. Saving mercy. Saving grace. Because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Not that Paul was making an excuse. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. And that's why he went on to say it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he said, of whom, among whom, I am the foremost of all. So, you look at our Lord's patience with the Apostle Paul, who formerly was Saul, the Pharisee, according to his own words, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent aggressor. You read his testimony in the book of Acts, as he gave his testimony several times, of who he used to be and how he used to be before God's grace and mercy saved his soul. He gives testimony saying how he was trying to get Christians to blaspheme Christ. It wasn't just that Paul was blaspheming Christ. He was trying to get Christians to blaspheme Christ. I mean, he was, well, if he walked into Christian churches today and tried to do that, he'd be called a terrorist, right? Today. That's how he was back then, before Christ in his sovereign grace, without any permission needed. Christ saved Saul on that road to Damascus. And the wretched blasphemer called Saul became the Apostle Paul. Boy, God's patience. He could have just zapped Saul, right? But unbeknownst to Saul or anybody else besides the three persons of the Trinity, unbeknownst to anybody, that Saul had been predestined for salvation. According to God's sovereign decree, according to God's sovereign plans, according to God's sovereign grace, and all for God's glory. And so, as we think of Saul who became Paul, Saul the blasphemer became Paul the apostle, we think about Peter, what he said about God's macrothumeo patience means salvation. Yes, even to blasphemers like these people who say you have to give God permission here on earth before he can do anything from heaven. Again, blasphemy, yet who knows? If perhaps, according to God's sovereign decree before the foundation of time, yes, even some of those people who are preaching that stuff today, who knows? That perhaps they may be shown saving mercy and grace, right? And even these people in that movement would be shown saving mercy and grace. Because let's face it, as Christians who do not buy into this blasphemy, I think we can all agree that before we were recipients of God's saving mercy and grace, we were idolaters, we were our own God, our own authority, and we thought that you can finish the sentence when it comes to your former life. Yet, we have been shown mercy and grace. And so, when it comes to this teaching and these teachers, you know, as a pastor, I am commanded in Scripture to mark out or point out false teachers, which I've done, to really warn people so they don't buy into this, but also to make sure that God's holy name and His holy word is held high. So I've done that. But I also am commanded to pray for non-believers. And anybody who teaches this is a non-believer. Anybody who believes in this and buys into this is a non-believer. And so, rather than praying to God and saying, God, zap them now, I think I and we need to be praying, God, please stop them now from blaspheming your holy name. And God, please, according to your mercy and grace, save them. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.